So last week, if you weren't here, we looked at the original Grinch, right? And it wasn't Herod, which the text kind of implied, but it was ultimately Satan, the one who's constantly tried to rob God of his glory. And we see it even in trying to kill the Christ child and through the actions of Herod. So if you missed any of those, you can go back and listen to them online. This is my last Sunday here. This is my last Sunday this year here. I said that last time in the last service, and Don got up and said, he's not leaving us, I'm just leaving. We're going to Louisiana, and so Dennis will be here next week. Dennis is back there. Dennis has served here in community and in churches, and you may have seen him with like Men of Integrity and other things as well. So he'll be filling in for me next week. I'll be back at the beginning of January. I know some of you are going to be gone as well. So for me, it kind of transitions. We'll go back to Romans, the beginning of the year. So if you missed some of those Roman messages, you also can go online and catch up there. So I know this morning we have Lord's Supper. We have lots of things we're doing. In the last few weeks, what we've done with these movies is we tried to tie them to a specific text. This morning, as we kind of come to a conclusion, I want to give more maybe a philosophical message, or at least an idea of a bigger picture. So it won't necessarily be tied to a specific text, but we'll see that as it comes along. So this morning, as you see from your bulletin, we're going to look at It's a Wonderful Life, right? A classic movie, happened many years ago, black and white. But maybe some of you haven't seen it in a while, maybe forget, maybe you've never seen it. But it's about a man named George Bailey, who's a real planner. He's real ambitious, right? I mean, he wants to go see the world. He wants to travel around. He wants to go to college. But George is one of those guys that he just has a series of what he feels like is unfortunate events happen in his life. Remember, he's getting ready to go off and travel, and his dad has a stroke and ultimately dies. Okay, if you haven't seen the movie, sorry if I'm giving it away, but it's been out for a while. You should have seen it by now, right? So his dad has a stroke, and so he wants to go off to college, but there's a rich man in the town who's going to like take over the building and loan, and so he stays and he runs it. Then the bank struggles. There's a run on money, right? And the rich man in town is always trying to manipulate this little bank that's trying to stand for the community. So George stays and doesn't go on his honeymoon with his wife, and instead spends all of his money so that the rush on the bank doesn't cause the bank to go under. And then you remember his brother comes back from college, right? And George thinks, now it's going to be my turn to go to college. But his brother's now married, and the woman that he married, his wife's dad, wants to give him a job in New York. And so George realizes, I'm going to be stuck again in this small little town. And then at the end, towards the end of the movie, his uncle loses $8,000. And George believes that he's going to go to jail because this money is missing. And so George he's stressed out, and his wife's trying to have this Christmas party at their house, and he just kind of loses it, and he runs off, and he goes to the rich guy who actually has that $8,000, who stole it, really. And George he's begging to take out a loan, and the guy just kind of blows him off. So the only thing George sees he can do is to end his life, because he has this life policy. And it's at that point God intervenes in the movie by sending this angel. And the angel's purpose is to show George what his life would have been like if he had never lived. We have a short video clip. It's about 2 minutes, but I want you just to get the feel. Listen to what the angel says to George regarding his life. Guys, go ahead. Do you notice what he said there? One man's life has this huge impact in so many other people's lives. And so he's showing George what the lives of others would have been if George would have never have lived. So at the end of the movie, he cries out, he's broken, and he goes back and he's able to go back to his wife, and they recognize who he is, right? Let me ask you this question. Have you ever stopped and thought, what would the world be like if you never lived? I mean, think about the people's lives that you're touching and impacting. I mean, how would it be different? Those of you whose parents are here in this room, just realize if your parents aren't here, you're not here. But maybe a even deeper question is this. Have you ever considered what your life would be like if Jesus had never lived? What if Jesus had never been born? It's interesting. There was a recent article in the Wall Street Post just a couple days ago by this higher criticism kind of guy. This person who totally rejects the historicity of the Bible. But he asked the question, this is the title of the article in the Washington Post: did historical Jesus really exist? The evidence just doesn't add up. So he's written a book, and it's entitled There Was No Jesus, There Is No God, right? And the basis of his article is this: there's no reason to believe in a historical Jesus because what you see early on is there's little evidence of his early life. All we have in the New Testament is like the religious Jesus, the spiritual Jesus. We don't really have the historical Jesus and all the background, right? So, in essence, this question of what would have happened if Jesus never lived, this his argument, Jesus never did live. Now, I totally reject this man's wisdom, and I absolutely believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin some 2,000 years ago. Let me just remind you, you can see the scripture up here in Galatians chapter 4, clearly the scripture reminds us of Jesus' birth. Listen to what it says here. You can read along. It says, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he's the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But listen, but when the fullness of time had come, at just the right moment, when everything was perfect, when God was ready to move in a powerful way, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you're sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Scripture clearly tells us that Jesus was born of a virgin 2,000 years ago. Now, you have to deal with that in your own life. Do I believe what Scripture says, right? But for the point of this moment, for this morning, just for a few moments, let us consider what would have happened if God would not have moved, would not have acted, would not have shown mercy and grace by sending Christ. What would the world be like if 2,000 years ago, Jesus, as Philippians says, if he didn't empty himself, become the form of a servant, right? Experience all that we experience, suffer and die. What if that would have never have happened? I guess the other way to ask that question is, how did Jesus' life impact many, as that angel told old George? Because the reality is, Jesus' life, so central was his death and resurrection, but I want us to see this morning, it has impacted the world in numerous ways that even many of you don't stop to think about, and how his life has changed society. In 1994, D. James Kennedy wrote a book asking that question, what would have happened if Jesus would have never been born? And here's what he said. I haven't read the whole book, but I saw this snippet. It said, Jesus Christ, the greatest man who ever lived has changed virtually every aspect of human life, and most people don't know it. They don't recognize it. And so this morning, we want to look just for a few moments at how Jesus impacted culture, relationships, and ultimately our spirituality. So first, let's think about culture. One of the things that Jesus believed and preached and taught, and really it's the foundation of which all these other things flow, is the dignity and the sanctity of each individual person, right? That every person is made in the image of God, that we are image bearers of God, and that we're valuable, that every person has worth and is significant in the eyes of God. There's no mistakes. There's no person who God made that is useless, trash, that is worthless. Every individual, whatever their circumstances, is valuable and precious. And God, the Creator, desires that all peoples be treated justly, fairly, and humanely. Right? That's what you see all throughout the Scripture. God hated bribes. God hated injustice. God hated when people that were widows and orphans were mistreated and abused, right? I mean, God desired that righteousness would be shown to all. And so what we see with Jesus is, he doesn't just do spiritual healings, but Jesus in his earthly ministry actually did physical healings. Think about all the places where Jesus walked around and he physically ministered to people, people that had bleeding issues, people that had been lame and blind all of their lives, right? John 9, the man born blind, he gives him physical sight that so he can see. In those days, the Romans and even the Jews would cast aside people who were sick, had issues. Think about, where were the lepers when Jesus met them? They were castigated from society in a little leper colony so that nobody else had to deal with them. And where did Jesus go? He went right in the middle of where the lepers were and he ministered to them. So different and contrary to the way that society was treating those who were sick and ill. The Romans had medical treatment, but it was only for the elite or for soldiers. In the early church, they picked up on Jesus' ministry to those who had physical needs, and they began changing the way that medicine was offered to those who were less fortunate and who had needs. And in 325, in the Council of Nicaea, and it's one of these theological times when the guys get together and they're trying to bash out theological things, but one of the things they said was this: everywhere that we have churches, we need to establish hospitals. If Jesus would have never been born, medical treatment would be so different. Many of you would probably not get medical treatment because you're not soldiers or you're not elites. So think about it today. Right to life, pro-life movement. What's the foundation of that? The belief in the dignity and the human, the value of all peoples. Think about those who want to do away with kids who have mental retardation, right? Christians fight for life. Let them live. What about euthanasia? Christians fight for what? Let them live. It's against God's law to put to death people just because they're old or because they're weak or they have illnesses. Evolution would say what? Put them down. They're weak. They're eating resources. So do you see Jesus' life impacts our medical field? Jesus would have never been born, how would people that are sick and different be treated today? Remember Robin that used to attend our church? Remember his mom lives in India? She runs a leper colony. And he says she has the great impact of the gospel because those who are over there, they don't care for them, and she's able to treat them physically and share the gospel. Christ makes a difference, and his life impacts medicine. But it's not just medicine, it's also education. Previously, religious people, they were the ones who were getting educations, but common people like you and me, we didn't get educations. All you got to do is look around the world. Women still don't get education. Most of the places, kids don't get education, right? Only the elites, and half the time, they're sent over here. But Jesus communicating the value and the dignity of every life and the importance of knowing wisdom and having knowledge and understanding God's word. The church picks up on that and they begin implementing education for boys and girls that are less fortunate. Do you know, even as Baptists, that's kind of the foundation of our Sunday school? Was Moody and others would go and they would pick up little boys and girls from the projects and difficult cultures who couldn't read, and they would teach them to read, and they would show it through the scriptures and the Bibles. And if you think about it, even now, what do missionaries around the world do? They establish schools and hospitals, and they proclaim and they teach the Bible. How would schools be different today if Christ had never lived? And even in America, the higher institutions, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Brown, all of them, you know their founders? Believers. Divinity schools. If Christ would have never lived, the education would be totally different. And many of us probably wouldn't be able to read, write. Another cultural issue revolved sexes, women, ladies. How would your life be different now if Jesus never lived? Think about what the Middle East is right now. You see, in those days, women had no value. They had no property. They had no rights. A woman was a man's property. It was either her husband's property or was her father's property. She wasn't allowed to speak in public. She wasn't allowed to leave the home. Look, even when I was in Morocco in 1998, we went down to the beach in Casablanca. You know who was there? Men. Women didn't come out of the house. That's 1998. Still that way in many places today. No value, no importance. But Jesus confronted this in his life. He treated women with respect. He engaged them in conversations. He allowed them to be part of his ministry team, right? I mean, Mary and Martha, they walked along with Jesus and they did ministry. And oh, who were the women that were at the cross when Jesus was crucified? The women who he had had an impact in their life. And who were the ones who went to the tomb early that morning when Jesus wasn't there? The women were there, right? And who do we see in the early churches? The women were also communicated as having blessings and doing ministry. Phoebe and Anna and others. Jesus totally transformed the way culture understood a woman's value and purpose. That women should be treated with dignity and respect. Now, do you see, if Jesus would have never been born, it would be a lot different for women. It would be a lot different for children. It'd be a lot different for those who are sick. Jesus' life has totally, dramatically changed the culture everywhere. But it's not just the culture, right? It's also regarding relationships. Think about this. Think how marriage is different because of Christ. Again, before Jesus, Roman times, there was no expectation of monogamy or faithfulness on the part of a male. Women were property. And so we're going to have our wives, we're going to have our concubines, we're going to have our women on the side. It was common for men to have open mistresses, to be involved in all types of orgies and other sexual immorality. And in the midst of that culture, Jesus, and by extension, Paul says what? Husbands, love your wives. See, we blow past that and we want to get caught up on wives, submit to your husbands and that whole context. But the idea that he says, husband, love your wives, what he's getting at is quit acting the fool. Quit acting like all these other men going after women. Quit being an unfaithful husband. And instead, give of yourself to your wife. Love her unconditionally. Because what you're doing is you're showing how Christ has loved the church and gave himself for the church. I mean, Christ totally dramatically impacts marriages. And today, as a believer, your marriage should be different because it's based on Christ. But it's not just marriage. Another relationship issue that Jesus changed was regarding enemies. Right? Remember that? Jesus uses their, even the Jewish scripture, you know, I say to you, what? Love your enemies. Pray for those who, what? Persecute you and mistreat you. You see, what Jesus was doing was he was changing the way that we treat other people. Up until that point, the way people were treated was, I'm going to be nice to those who are nice to me, and I'm going to be mean to those who are mean to me. Oh, that sounds like today, doesn't it? But what Jesus has called us to is, that's not how we're to live. We're to love those who are unlovable. Why? Oh, yeah, because God loved us while we were unlovable. Because God showed us mercy and forgiveness and grace. He's treated us in a way that we don't deserve. So we, having been redeemed by Christ, we're to love our enemies, to pray for them, to recognize that maybe they're blind, maybe they don't understand spiritual things, maybe their heart is hard towards God, but let's pray for them, let's encourage them. We're called to pray for our leaders, submit to those in authority, even if we don't agree with them politically. He changed the culture and the way that we treat other people, and not just how we treat enemies, but the overall idea of forgiveness. What did Jesus say? How many times do I got to forgive? 7 times 7? No, 70 times 7. Ultimately, what Jesus is saying is, if you're a believer and you're following me, you cannot hold grudges. You can't have pride and arrogancy about the way you've been treated, but instead, you're to forgive that individual. You're to love them again. Why? Because the Father has forgiven and He has loved you. He's transformed and He's changed the way that we're to treat other people in relationships. Imagine what your marriage would be like if Jesus never lived. Maybe some of you have even been in marriages that you can kind of attest to what it was like without Jesus in the marriage. Or how would it be if we treated other people with hardship, cruelty? But it's not just culturally or relationally that Jesus impacts, but spiritually as well. And I think this is the one you automatically jump to. But imagine with me just for a moment, if that manger was empty, if there was no virgin giving birth, what would that mean today? Well, it would mean that you would still be in a broken relationship with God. What it would really mean is that you're God's enemy. What it would mean is that God is going to crush you. What it means is that you're under God's wrath and judgment and damnation for the way that you've acted towards Him. He sees you as an enemy combatant. That's what Scripture says. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. So take out the Christ coming and dying, we're enemies of God. And not just this broken relationship, but we would also still be under the power of the evil one. The Bible tells us that those who are outside of Christ lie under the power of the evil one. That's why we should treat people loving our enemies, recognizing that there's a spiritual thing going on in their life. And so if Christ would have never been born, if His life would have never have happened, then we would still be under the power of the evil one. As Corinthians says, we would be blind. We wouldn't see. We wouldn't understand spiritual things. We wouldn't understand there's a God. We wouldn't understand what God desires. We wouldn't understand what it means to follow in obedience and in righteousness. Oh, we might try to do good things. Oh, we might try to earn forgiveness. We might believe that there's some type of God, but we would be blinded. We'd be enslaved, not really able to do anything that we want. We would, our hearts would be evil. We would be doing sin. We would not be able to have victory over temptation. When those things would come in our lives, we wouldn't have any kind of victory because there'd be no power to give us victory. Where's our victory come from now? The Holy Spirit that resides in us. If you don't have that Holy Spirit, what power do you have when temptation comes? And you would still be devoured. Remember, Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If Jesus, and he says, but I've come to give you life. If Jesus would have never have come, we would be what? Being destroyed. Our lives would be stolen. With drugs and relationship issues and going after money and all the things that the world thinks is so valuable and important. Some of you might remember, it would look like this. If Jesus would have never been born, we would probably live in a constant state, and I'm going to try to give different generational genres, examples, of Watts. Remember that, the Watts riots? What if that's how life always was? Or Rodney King. Or Katrina. Or what's been going on in St. Louis. You see, if there's no Holy Spirit restraining people from evil, that's how life is all the time. People going after what they want. People settling their own. Why? Because there's no sense of right and wrong. Only right and wrong is what? What I choose is right and wrong. Isn't that where we live nowadays? There is no right or wrong except what I choose and deem. Not just would we have broken fellowship and would be under the power of the evil one and he would be bringing all kinds of destructions, but ultimately we would still be destined to spend eternity separated from God. That really is the apex of it. Because we can have good schools and we can have education and we can change society for the better, but at the end of the day, if we don't have any atonement for our sins and we're still dead, and we still are guilty, and when we stand before God, we have no hope, no mediator, no case that we can plead in order to get out of that, then we're to be of most people to be pitied. And if Christ would never have been born, we would still have God's judgment weighing on us, and we would hear the words, "Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." You see, if Jesus would have never been born, we'd be hopeless. We'd be helpless. But the good news is this. A baby really does change everything. It changes everything. That little angel in that movie told George, your one life has impacted many in the community. Your uncle didn't go to jail because you lived. You helped the pharmacist not give out poison in the pills. You saved his brother from drowning in the water, right? I mean, all those things. You created a little Baileyville community of homes. Your life made an impact in many lives. How much more the Savior? And how his life has impacted every aspect of culture, every aspect of every relationship. We don't know love unless we understand God. God is love. How can you say you love somebody unless you truly understand the love that comes from God? How can you be in a true relationship unless you have a relationship with the Father, your Creator, right? How do you understand the meaning and value of life unless you understand that life is precious and from God? He has impacted every corner of every country and every issue. This baby changes everything. And so for us today, this morning, in this room, those of us who have trusted in Christ, those of us who have put our faith in this child who came in the manger, who grows up, who bears God's just wrath for our sins, we can take these elements and say, what a wonderful life I have because of the wonderful life of my Savior. Maybe for others of you, though, right now this morning, you've never really seriously dealt with the impacts of Jesus' life. I mean, you know, I knew that pastor was going to say something about spiritual things, but you don't even stop to think. Without Jesus, there's no America. I mean, that's what we're founded upon, right? We say that all the time. And maybe some of you need to stop this hardness of your heart and begin asking yourselves, okay, what do I do with this little baby that was born in a manger to this woman named Mary and all these stories about him growing up and obeying God and healing people and changing culture and dying on a cross? Is it possible that he died for me? The answer is yes. Yes. Christ died for sinners. He says, I've come not for the well, but for those who are sick. Dead in sins, hostage by the evil one. He came to lay down his life as a ransom so that you here this morning could have life. So even as we have opportunity to respond through song, maybe you need to do business with God and say, God, here I am, a worthless, unbelieving individual, but I'm asking for Christ. In my life, I'm asking that his life would pay my debt. And the Bible promises all who call on the name of Christ are saved. Let's pray. Oh, Father, what a